that we sometimes forget to actually thank the people we want to thank. So today, I want to thank fathers. I don't know your experience with your dad. I've been lucky. I had a great dad. He loved me. He did his best. He had a horrible dad, so I'm not even sure how he learned to be a good dad, because his dad was just horrific. But every day he tried to be there for me. He tried to love me in the way he could. So today I want to say thank you to my dad for fixing the snowmobile after I crashed it multiple times and not giving me a hassle about it. And coming and picking me up in the gravel pits because the motorbike blew up. Not sure how that happened. Never said a word about it, just took it home, fixed it. He taught me a good work ethic, something I didn't even realize he was doing because I was spending the entire time pushing his buttons as he's trying to teach me something. He taught me how to be a man. So I'm lucky. I got a good dad. I don't know what your relationship with your dad is. I hope it's good. If you're a dad out there and you've been a great dad, I want to celebrate you today. You're amazing. And if you've been a crappy dad, you still got time. It's time to turn the ship around and start becoming a good dad. So that on Father's Day, you can be celebrated. And for the people who've lost their dads, I hope your dads were good. You can think good thoughts about them. And if they weren't, then this message is going to be right on point for you today. Okay? So happy Father's Day, everyone. Happy Father's Day. You're a father. Three kids, right?
Yep.
Well done. Your job's done now. You made them. You're all good. So today I'm going to do something a little bit different. It's something I normally don't do. I'm going to tell you how this message ends. Because it ends with hope. Beautiful hope. Hope for something that I don't even know we can get our minds around sometimes. Hope for peace and love and security. That's where this message is going. Because I believe each and every one of us can end up someplace beautiful. No matter how dark it is right now, no matter how crappy things are, no matter how much is going on in your life, there's hope. I'd love to tell you the hope was, you have to do anything. I'm just going to give you a magic bullet and it's going to make everything go perfectly. But you've been at Friends Church long enough, you know we're not going to do that. We all got to do some work. But I'm convinced, and we're convinced, that if you're willing to do the work, if you're willing to do what we talked about today, you can get to that place of beauty and hope and peace. For me, calm mind. You got to do some work. We're going to talk about that. And you have to go someplace that some of us don't want to go. You can't avoid it any longer. You got to go to that dark place. I remember being 9 years old. Oh, geez. Leaving the hospital. It was Christmas Eve. And we were going to go celebrate Christmas dinner. My sister Julie, my brother Anthony, and my mom. But not my dad. We left him at the hospital. The doctors had no clue what was going on. They just said he's dying. So we sat around the Christmas table trying to pretend that it's time to celebrate. It's time to pretend that it's Christmas and this is something good's going on. I don't know about you, but I've had darkness in my life. Times were painful. Loss, sadness. You might have been in a relationship. There's darkness everywhere, isn't there? Right now with oil, it's dark. Someone shaved off their $50 oil beard. I said, oh, hey, oil's up again. He's like, yeah, nope, growing it again. Calgary. Where's the darkness for you? Someone hurt you? Someone told you, said something about who you are? That man still sits in there. Do you feel it? Can you feel it right now? That like tension in you? Some of us, it's in our marriages, our children, parents. Even on Father's Day, sometimes this is the hardest day because it's our fathers that have hurt us so deeply. It's at work, I don't know. Where is it for you? Is it emotion coming up? Feeling? Some people it turned into shame. The reason things are crappy is because there's something wrong with me. Some of it's fear or sadness, this deep sadness that we can't shake. Can you go to that place right now? Just sit there. Some of you, when you hear Pete playing, you're like, that's what I feel like all the time. This music's just giving voice to that feeling, that sense inside of us. And some of you, the sadness and the darkness is a place we're scared to go, isn't it? These are the messages where I'd start sitting like this. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to feel that. I spent a lot of good time trying to avoid that. Now you want me to go be that. Have me go back there? But you can feel the pull of it, can't you? Our spiritual ancestors talk about this. One poet says it this way, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemies have the upper hand?" Some of you that are fighting this, you're fighting going to the dark place right now. I understand that. In your mind, it's like, no, I'm not going there. I have a good life. Like, you know, I like to keep things positive and keep things upbeat. You know, look at the best side of life, right? None of this dark stuff, crap, Clausen. I don't want to deal with that crap. A little Carly Rae Jepsen, huh? Yeah, give me some pop music.
Hey, I just met you.
This is our best of series. So we actually did this message almost a year ago, and that was the song a year ago, right? You're all thinking, what's the... I don't remember that song. So what we do when we start feeling dark and sad and we wanted something to amp us up, right? I turn on the pop radio station. Oh, yeah. A little electronica, get me going. I'm not feeling anything bad now. I've got Carly Rae Jepsen on my side. That wasn't in my notes. When we hear the poet, we like the poetry in the Bible like this. For the righteous Lord loves justice, and the virtue will see his face. Basically, like, kick all the bad people in my life in the head. That's what we want, right? Surely your goodness and unfailing love pursue me all the days of my life. Yes, there's a positive spin. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. You hear this in our songs all the time. You know, you come in here and you will play a song about how everything's going to be great. Everything's perfect, right? That feels better. And yet, if we're really honest, there's something deep inside of us that we may or may not want to go to. There's a pain in there, or brokenness, or It's not a happy pop song. I don't know where it is for you. It could be anything. But man, this darkness and us avoiding it and addictions, they are close friends. And I'm talking formal addictions like, you know, porn, gambling, drinking, drugs. The number of friends in 12-step who say to me, I had a moment in my life where I didn't know what to do, and man, after that first drink, I was the life of the party. Nothing could touch me. I felt amazing. I'd love to say formal addictions is the only thing, but how many of us have informal addictions, huh? TV channel that just has to be watched. The hobby we just have to do, right? I don't want to feel all that's going on inside, so I was going to go focus on work. Just like, yeah, it gives me a break. We're avoiding the pain. We want to run to happy, to Carly Rae Jepsen. I stole this message concept from a guy named Rob Bell. He's an amazing speaker. His podcast just shifted me. So I wanted to do my own take on it. And so I knew I couldn't do it. Words wouldn't be enough for this one. So probably a year and a half ago, I sat down with Pete one day. We were having a beer and said, hey, Pete, I got this idea. And he kind of gives me the raised eyebrow. I said, hey. Within half a minute, we were like writing the message together. We were just going crazy. It was like, this would be perfect to do together. So I want to introduce you to Pete. This is Peter Justine. He's my buddy. So we're going to do something completely different. We're going to do a musical introduction. So Pete is actually grew up in the deep south, like states.
Yeah, Virginia.
Virginia. This is what they play in Virginia.
Almost heaven.
And even though he's really good with John Denver, he's also a singer-songwriter. So him and his wife make up a band called Hazel Gray. They have an open mic that they host monthly at, where is it again?
Dickens Pub.
Dickens Pub. The Absinthe Night. You get absinthe and their stuff. So play something that you wrote.
Looking back, I try to see but my retrospective sight can't be blinded. When I close my eyes, my memories, they're dancing, are dancing through my mind. And I dream I am like some graceful tsukiyaki. I drink the mountain wind into my soul, and I swallow the gray winter sky till I thirst no more, no fly. To never have a worry, a sad cry. To not be in a hurry, won't cry. Am I to be ashamed of my tears?
Nice. And even though we're having some fun, Pete gets this topic. He has a heart for this. So as we were going through his songs, he came up with this song and said, I wrote this song. I was like, this is what we're trying to talk about. So I should play this a little bit.
You hear me crying. You hear me calling out. I've reached the bottom of it all. Tasted all the sorrow that my soul can take. It's just my story that I keep so behind my smile. If you love me, child, you take that thread and stitch my broken heart so I could frown again. And I'd be flying like a supernatural kiss of heaven's wind. But I fall down again. Superman is just a man like me. And so I sit back in my corner, watch the universe descend like broken dreams.
That's Peter. so you guys know, I can't just talk about feelings and not talk about how our brains work. I just can't do it. There's something inside of me that just, I have to teach you about how your brain works. And I learned something a while ago in my process for all this. We actually don't have one brain per se. Yeah, there's one like noggin up there, but it's like we have multiple parts of our brain. And all those parts of our brain talk to us. They want our attention. One's saying one thing, another saying another thing. And if you're not paying attention to them, they start getting louder and louder and louder. You know the feeling, right? You're trying to keep you asleep at night, and all of a sudden you just hear this nonstop chatter. You're like, I just need to sleep. It sounds like that. Our brains are actually designed that way. You know that feeling? For me, it was 2 o'clock last night. So I'm laying in bed, eyes wide open, wondering, why am I not sleeping right now? For me, it feels like it's like my brain is one of those dogs who's trying to catch its own tail. You know, he's spinning around. He's just like running like crazy. And you're like, buddy, like, seriously, you're not going to catch it. You're not going to get away from it. You're not going to catch it. Like, give up already. But my brain just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. You have that internal narrative that says the same thing over and over again. What I didn't realize is it's kind of how our brains are supposed to work. There's a famous psychiatrist, his name is Dan Siegel, who studied this stuff a lot more than I have. It's incredible stuff. And he has this famous line. It says this: you have to name it to tame it. You have to name what's going on in your head in order to calm it down. Think about that. If he's right, and I think he is, all the avoiding we're doing is the exact opposite of what our brain needs. You feel that darkness welling up? What do? Focus on something else. Distract yourself. Do anything. When you feel that pain in your chest, you know that your heart just feels like it's going to break? When you feel like your stomach's just tensed, it's like that fear, the sadness. What do? We want to deny it. The number of people who've said to me, I don't feel that. I'm like, you're this close to just breaking down in my office. And they're like, I'm okay. I don't need to feel that. Or this reason, you know, I have this thing, and so therefore it's not valid. That person's got it harder than me, and or this or that. It's all different ways we try and avoid those dark feelings inside of us. And Siegel's right, and I think he is. His answer is, do not run away from that. Never run away from that. In fact, that's the exact opposite. That's the dog chasing its tail in your mind. Because if you do, the darkness is never going to leave you. And if you want a good reason to pay attention to this, look at my life. Because I ran for years. I got really good at running. When my dad was sick, I went into the bush and played Rambo. Didn't have to feel anything then. First girl who broke my heart. Man, after that I was like, I'm going to be tough. I'm not going to open myself up to someone else again. Hearing from a friend that they don't get me, I was just like, okay, well, then I'll just take care of myself. I'm fine. I know your stories because you told me a lot of them. Sometimes you say them with your mouth and you tell me your story. Sometimes you walk up to me and I can see in your eyes. You have a lot of pain and you have a lot of sadness in your life. And if Siegel's right, and I think he is, this running away that we're doing, this rationalizing, this avoiding, this stiff upper lip, this project work ethic, it's killing us. Because you can't run away. You can't run away from your brain. You can't run fast enough to get away from yourself. Got to look those emotions square in the eye. Name them. say, I see you. I see that pain. I see that hurt. Whether I think it's valid or not, I feel it and I have to own that. I'm hurt by that decision. I'm scared everyone's going to hate me. I'm torn apart by sadness. I miss them more than words can ever describe. When we name those emotions, our brain becomes one. And the dog stops chasing its tail. It's funny, I don't even want to talk about this next part. You can tell I'm good at avoiding, huh? I've had an interesting last few years. I've said it before, my ex-wife and I divorced about 3 years ago now. It was a sad series of events that started with skillless relational practices, which is obviously why I talk about this so much, and ended up with much pain and sorrow. For me, for her, for our families, for our friends. When I first met my ex-wife, it was a spiritual experience for me. There was God in that moment. But we let it degrade till there was nothing there anymore. I can say, sitting here today, that was brutal. Just brutal. So I sat in my counselor's office many days trying to figure out how the hell my life had gotten to this point. How the hell did we go from saying, if you die before me, I'm going to kill you because I want to be with you forever. I'm done. We're done. Even as I say it, I can feel sitting in my counselor's office. And I wanted so bad to blame everything on her. It was her fault. She did this. She did that. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. I did. For a long time, I blamed her. It's my way of avoiding it. Not looking at the crap inside of my life. When the darkness hit, I wanted everything to avoid that pain. I'd had so much pain, I just wanted it gone. I just didn't want to deal with it. I felt like if I would go there, if I would just open myself up to that, it would take me out. I don't mean to genderize this, but I know many of us guys talk about that. If I open myself up to the emotions, I don't have the skills to deal with them. So I lied to myself, I justified myself, I gave into those stories that said it was all her fault. I just picked the wrong person. If I just picked the right person, everything's going to go perfectly. It's going to be Hollywood. Didn't work. Much of the credit went to my counselor, Dana, who picked apart every one of those defenses. She taught me to put my toe in the darkness and those feelings I didn't want to feel, the ones we're scared of. She taught me to embrace the darkness. In fact, man, she said, when you feel it, run towards it. Turn on the song that makes you, if you're feeling sad, mine was sadness, run towards the sadness. Turn on the saddest music you can so you just like, there's nothing but sadness. You feel what you need to feel. Most importantly, she taught me that the darkness doesn't stay forever. That feeling you have inside, that fear, that the hurt, the wound, it's not forever. If you run from it, it's forever. But if you go into it, if you stick your toe in it and then go deeper, it starts off in this black place. For me, it was like the blackest place I could ever think of. So when you're outside and there's no lights anywhere, and all of a sudden you see just the smudge of sun or light or something on the horizon. At first you can't even tell what it is. Just everything seems like darkness. And as I spent more time in the darkness, I saw my first sunrise. And it was amazing. So as you remember me back then, I was so shut down. I couldn't feel a thing, good or bad. And when I went through that darkness, when I started going to the other side, I could feel the world around me for the first time, and it felt like forever. I could see a friend enjoying a flower, and I could feel their joy. I could feel the sadness of someone else's loss. I could feel that pure heartache. I didn't have to run from it anymore. I felt the happiness of contentment, the joy of success, the honesty of anger. I felt it all. And I'm telling you, I hadn't felt that in years. That's the light after the dark. And that's what I want for all of us. That peace, that the joy. And not the kind that's the Hollywood, like nothing ever goes wrong. Like everything's just bubblegum and rainbows, Carly Rae Jepsen. That's not what I'm getting at. Because once you've gone through the dark, once you've wrestled through all the darkness, there's an honesty to the joy. The peace is true. It's not something fabricated. It's not something I'm trying to convince myself of. It's truly there. As I have moments of this, as my mind clears, I have these moments where I'm like, I think I'm having a stroke because my brain's not doing anything right now. It's shut off. And I realize, oh, that's peace. I'd forgotten what peace felt like. I'd love to say I've arrived and I got this. Oh, man. I've wasted so many years. I got to get back. But I'm trying. My sabbatical had huge impact on me this year to help me go through more of the dark places, places I didn't even realize I had. And I just keep feeling better and better. My brain's calmer. I feel more peace and joy in my life. And that's what I want for you. I want that sunrise on the other side of the darkness, not this side, not the side that says I'm not going there, but on the other side when you've gone through what you need to go through and you start to see the sun on the other side and you realize there can be light.
You say you are.
Some of you are like me. You've been running from the dark forever. There's a place inside of you you know you do not want to go there. I want to ask you to do it. Go there. Say what you feel out loud. Not bitch to your friend, you know, get them on your side. That's trying to avoid it. Go into it. Name your feeling. Name it out loud. If you don't have someone safe in your life, email me, vince@friendchurch.ca. I'll send you someone who can help you with this stuff. I want peace for you guys. I want integration. I want your whole selves working together again. I'm starting to learn that some of our spirituality is tied so deeply into this part of ourselves. I want us to be whole again. Originally, I named this the light after the dark. So light, dark, light. It's that light we get to once we've gone through the dark. That's what I want for you. So today, I hope that we've done something to help encourage you to go there. Because I'm telling you, the other side, it's amazing. Because once we get to the other side, we can say this line from the poet, from one of our spiritual ancestors from the Bible. He says this, "But I trust you, God. I trust you to love me because I'm truly lovable. I will sing to you, to my higher power, to the universe, to whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Because I've come to the light on the other side of the darkness. And I am truly whole."
This is Peter Justine, hazelgray.com. Give him a round of applause. Thanks, buddy. Have a great week, everyone. It's maybe going to be a dark one. I understand that, but hey, it's better on the other side. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.